Good evening, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of The Naturalist Capitalist. By the way, I finally had a day off, so all of my audio episodes over the last month and a half are finally uploaded to Anchor. So if you don't want to waste the data on your phone watching me on YouTube, you can go over to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, any of those places. I'm all caught up to my last episode. Sorry it took me so long. It's been a crazy month. But anyway, I've got Chase Geiser from the One America podcast back on the show. You can follow the link in the description to his Twitter and YouTube pages. Follow him there. How are you doing tonight, Chase?
I'm doing great, Reed. Thanks for having me on your show, man. It's always a pleasure to listen to and be on your show.
Yeah, same to you, man. Thanks for coming on. So I think you actually kind of hold the more popular position right now. Like, I have been enraging people the last 2 weeks, which is something
it's my favorite thing about you.
I'll admit that I enjoy doing it, but it's been over Afghanistan, and I don't think we're completely at odds, but we definitely have some differences of opinion, and we haven't gotten any fights on Twitter, but we've kind of crossed paths on the issue. So I said, hey, let's do an episode and let's talk it out. So why don't you just basically lay out your position? Like, what do you think about the war in Afghanistan from like beginning to end? Should we have ever been there? How long should we have been there? If we did go, how should we have left as opposed to how we did leave?
Okay. Yeah, I'll do my best. So it's complicated because I am not as intimately familiar with what actually happened on 9/11 as you may be, or the Ryan Dawsons may be of the world. So I am of the position that whatever the actual official narrative of 9/11 is not true, but I do not know or believe in any alternative explanation because I'm just not, I haven't given the time to try to like get to the bottom of it. So that probably is something that I should do, or maybe we can talk about on this show, because you might know that would better inform what like the appropriate response is. But as of this moment, which I'm totally open to changing my position on any aspect of this, as of this moment, I don't believe that we should have ever been there. I believe that we should probably have assassinated Osama bin Laden in some way, shape, or form. And I believe that we should have gotten out as soon as he was killed. And I believe that we should be leaving Afghanistan now. The only disappointment I have is it seems very haphazard, disorganized, and shitty the way that we did it. And it seems to be either an expression of incompetence or selling out by the Biden administration to me. That's just how it seems. So I'm not an expert. I'm not well-versed. But it's just like when you see people fucking clinging to planes, it seems like, all right, somebody made a mistake. Like, yeah. So that's sort of where I land on this. But not that we should still be there or have stayed longer. You know, I think that Trump should have brought us all the way out, you know, 5 years ago. But mm-hmm. It just seems like we could probably get out without allowing as many civilians to die, or leaving behind American troops, or abandoning those who helped us during the war effort. And, you know, maybe that's an impossible feat since so many tens of thousands of Afghans helped us. Maybe it is impossible to just like hook them all up. I don't know. But it seems pretty shitty that we sort of, you know, relied on a lot of citizens in Afghanistan to help us during the war, and then we've totally abandoned them now. That's what it seems like to me. And that's sort of where I land.
Yeah, so I didn't believe in any 9/11 conspiracy theories at all until I found out about Ryan Dawson, because I had watched Loose Change as a kid, and it's all about the structure of the towers and how like they couldn't have fallen. And it's just complete bullshit. Like, obviously those towers could have fallen from 747s slamming into them at 500 miles per hour and then burning for a long time.
So,
and
so you think that it was legit the way that the planes hit and the falling? Or
yes.
Okay.
Oh yeah. And I think there were terrorists. I think Al Qaeda orchestrated it.
Because you can't pay anybody who's not radicalized enough money to voluntarily fly a plane into a building. Like, you have to be a radicalized person.
Absolutely. There were terrorists involved from Al Qaeda. I think at the very, so I don't know how much of Ryan's story is 100% accurate, and he will admit that he doesn't know how much of it is 100% accurate either. But it seems to me, at the very least, that Israeli, Saudi, and American intelligence agencies at least knew it was going to happen and then aided it in happening. So, I mean, and then after you have an attack like that, you can obviously use that as a trebuchet to get into a full out war, which is, I think, what they did want. But I do think that our presence in the Middle East is what radicalized the terrorists to be willing to fly planes into our buildings in the first place.
Yeah, that's an old Rand Paul point with the blowback. We should never have installed the Shah in 79 or whatever year it was.
yeah, exactly. So I think the only appropriate response is what Ron Paul said, which was writing a letter of mark and reprisal, which would have just been basically like putting a bounty on Osama bin Laden's head and then just hiring someone to go kill him.
There was a bounty on his head, wasn't there? Wasn't it like really low? It was like 50 grand or something retarded.
I don't know what the number was, but this would have been, you know, a higher, I don't know what the bounty was through the letter of mark and reprisal, but it would have been the idea like, hey, if you go kill Osama bin Laden and the terrorists directly involved with this, we'll pay you instead of sending
$100 million.
Yeah. But then they had we went with the authorization of use of military force in 2001, which people erroneously think that was authorization to invade Afghanistan. It's not. The AUMF is really only to kill the terrorists directly involved with the 9/11 attacks. But then we've used that to expand all over the Middle East. Like we've always reverted back to, we passed the AUMF. So we can go into Syria. We can go into, you know, wherever we want to, basically. We can go into Iraq. We can, we can do all this shit because it's loosely related to terrorism and we don't know exactly, you know. So they just dilute the entire meaning of the AUMF so that we can use that to justify basically any military action we want pretty much anywhere in the world. And it's absolutely ridiculous.
Well, it seems like this shit really started with Vietnam. Even after like, we never really formally declared war in Vietnam either. And it was like, how the fuck did the president have the power to do that?
We haven't declared war since World War II. That was the last time we officially declared war.
We didn't even do it in Korea?
Nope. No, those are all police. It's all been police actions since World War II, every single thing. That was the last time we had an official declaration of war from Congress was World War II. But
I think if you look at the Constitution, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think that the president is even the commander in chief until Congress says he is. I don't think you just inherit that title as president. Maybe I'm wrong about that, but I've seen some things recently that have indicated that the whole commander in chief thing has a congressional caveat to it that maybe we just disregard.
Well, the president can't declare war unilaterally or anything like that. Right. Like that is left up to Congress. It's been a little while. I've read the Constitution last year, the last time I read it. So I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm not sure about that right there. But
more than any other congressman.
I know, right? When we went into Afghanistan, the Taliban offered to give us Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda because they were harboring them at the time.
So the Taliban existed back then?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, the Taliban, people like they get the Taliban, ISIS, Al-Qaeda all mixed up. Like right now, like a couple days ago, there was an attack that killed like 150 people, 13 American soldiers. That was ISIS. Some people think that was the Taliban.
ISIS-K.
Like they've just kind of.
What the fuck that is?
Yeah, ISIS-K. It's the new variant. It's like the Delta variant of ISIS. But, people don't. I feel like it's been successfully muddied, all the waters around like who is over there, who we're fighting. And people back here, they just think like everybody over there attacked us on 9/11. They think Saddam Hussein attacked us on 9/11. They think the Taliban attacked us on 9/11.
Tell you what, they want to now.
ISIS. Yeah, well, I mean, I don't blame them, honestly. Like,
right. How many civilians could you kill before they hate you, you know?
Like, this is going to be a really controversial take, but I already said it on Twitter. Like it is sad that 13 American soldiers died, and I really feel for their families, and I'm really sorry that they died. But the amount of outrage that we're supposed to have over 13 people who died when we killed a million Iraqis, you know, over a war that had nothing to do with us. It had nothing to do with 9/11. The WMDs were lies. We killed a million of them. And then we're supposed to, you know, everyone's mad at me that I'm not just completely outraged that 13 American soldiers died 2 days ago. I'm just like, you got to have consistent outrage. Like, and I'm not saying we shouldn't be outraged about the 13 American soldiers. I'm saying
you got to be pissed about everybody else.
They're pissed about the a million Iraqis we've killed or the hundreds of thousands of people all around the Middle East and Afghanistan and Syria, wherever that we've killed. I mean, it's just a completely unfair, you know, it's an unfair balance, the amount of outrage we have over when they kill one of us, when we're in their fucking country, versus how many of them we murder when we're over there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Why do you think we were over there in the first place? That's what baffles me. What the fuck did we care in Afghanistan or Iraq?
Afghanistan.
I mean, we didn't take any of their natural resources, though. We didn't take any of it. Like, we didn't steal it.
Well, yeah, we did in Afghanistan, the opium trade.
We actually took it.
Yeah.
Opium. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We imported a lot of it. I think that's why I think that they actually, and I was on a stream with Ryan last night and the Jackman brothers, and we were talking about this. We kind of think that they actually did believe that there was going to be some sort of Afghan army that was going to hold the fort when they left, because they care about the opium trade. And we know that the Taliban isn't going to give us any opium because they fucking hate us. So
right.
That's the only thing that makes me feel like this really was like buffoonery, thinking that the Afghan army, 300,000 strong or whatever, might actually have some sort of resistance, because some people think it was just a lie. Like, they were just like, oh yeah, yeah, we'll be fine. And they absolutely knew we wouldn't.
But how could our intelligence get it so wrong? Like, they said it would take 12 months. They initially said it would take 12 months for the Afghan government to collapse. Then they reduced it to 1 month. And then it actually happened in like 72 hours. So like, what kind of a, like, and it seems to me that as competent as our intelligence community is, it seems to me like it's too big of a leap to say that they just got it wrong. Like, it seems like they knew it was going to be a few days and they just didn't give a fuck. Or they're saying that, or they were covering for Biden or something so that he could do it anyway without, you know, being able to blame it on the intelligence community. But it's bizarre to me that they got that so wrong, because it was so coordinated, so organized. Obviously, everybody in the Taliban knew it was going to be 3 days. So how the fuck did our intelligence community not know?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they believed the lie that it was going to last a year or months or whatever, but I think they were surprised how quickly it fell. Because unless they like really don't care about the opium trade in Afghanistan anymore, which I guess is possible. Maybe they only care about the vaccine trade back here now, and the pharmaceutical companies are making big enough buck off of that they don't care anymore. I don't know. It's a possibility. But I do want to talk about Trump and Biden. So when Trump first established the deal with the Taliban, I was like, hell yes. I think that was January of last year that he first established the deal. I think it was January. It was January or December of, I forget, January. It was sometime around the beginning of last year. And I was like, let's go, Trump, let's go. But I honestly didn't even think he was going to do it. I thought it was a political stunt, because he had promised his supporters he was going to try to end the wars, and he hadn't ended a single one. So I thought, okay, he's just like throwing feed to the birds here so that they'll like what he's doing. And then once he wins re-election, he's going to back off. That was my thought. And then when Biden won and then he cancels the deal, I was like, oh fuck, we're never leaving Afghanistan. We're staying there forever. In fact, you guys can go back and watch episode 100. It's the second Four Horsemen where Pete Quinones is on. Eric Jackman and I are laughing at the prospect that Biden would pull us out of Afghanistan. And I think Ryan was the only one who thought he might. And we were like, no way, dude. Biden pull us out of Afghanistan. But I think that was his biggest mistake, was breaking the deal with the Taliban. Like, everyone, I think, is criticizing him in the wrong area.
The original deal was going to be that we were going to pull out in July, right? And he pushed it to September 11th, and then now it's August 31st, if I'm correct.
It was May 1st, I think, was the original deadline. We were supposed to be out by then. And so if we had pulled out all of our troops by May, the Taliban would have to withhold until we removed all of our, you know, personnel and everything. And then after we were gone, they were going to be allowed to take over. So instead, we gave them the finger and we said, fuck you, we're staying till September 11th because I'm President Biden and I don't want to use Trump's pullout deal because that'll make him look good. I want to have my own. And so then when you stay past May 1st, why would you expect the Taliban to honor any agreement that you've had at all or recognize any government?
But honestly, why would we ever have expected them to honor any agreement anyway? Like, they probably would have fucked Trump just the same way that they fucked Biden in this one. Because we've been bombing them for 20 fucking years, dude.
They want us to leave. Like, they don't want us there. So if we were obviously getting the hell out of there, I don't think they would have done the same thing. Like, I think...
Really? I think they called our bluff, man. I think they knew we were leaving anyway.
I don't know. I mean, they really want us out. They don't want to give us an excuse to stay there. Like, I mean, and the Taliban hasn't been attacking us. That's the thing a lot of people are getting wrong, too. Like, they did overtake Kabul, but they haven't been shooting at the airport or anything like that. That's only been ISIS-K that has attacked Americans. Like, the Taliban has no justifiable reason to attack us right now, because we are getting the fuck out of there. I mean, if they attack us...
Do you think it's possible that they're lying, though, and that it wasn't ISIS-K, that it was the fucking Taliban, and they're just saying it was ISIS-K, so that doesn't make them look bad?
No, if anything, I would think it was American. Like, it was like, I won't be surprised if we find out this was like a false flag operation that they're trying to make us stay with. Like, I would be more, believing of something like that, because, dude, think about it. Why would the Taliban want us there anymore? Like, the Taliban never wanted us over there. Osama bin Laden wanted us in Afghanistan because he wanted to bankrupt us, the same way the Russians were bankrupted in the Cold War trying to fight in Afghanistan.
Good job. Like, he did said a good job.
Yeah, I mean, he wrung us dry. But the Taliban never wanted us there. They don't want us in their country. You know, the Taliban is like the governing force. And it's obviously like a completely joke of a government. But they are like a more conservative Muslim version than like the bin Ladenite terrorists are. They're not like radical revolutionaries. Like, they're
did you see that Hulu series
did
you see that Hulu series on the all the files they found in Osama bin Laden's computer when they raided his compound?
No, I don't think so.
Dude, you got to check that out when you get a chance. I just watched the first episode a couple of weeks ago. It is fucking crazy, the shit that they found, man. They found a bunch of shit, like just like regular shit, like for example, the Charlie bit my finger meme. Like, he had like memes and stuff that were being delivered to him via flash drive just to keep him entertained. And there's all this like home footage of his compound and like his grandkids like reciting, you know, Muslim poetry. And like, you know, he's giving them like a round of applause, like just like home videos. It is creepy stuff, man. It really humanized him.
Yeah. Well, my dad is an English teacher, and he used to give us this exercise. You know, he'd give this exercise to his students. It was this reading he had to do where it described three people. And the first two are just complete degenerates that you hate after you read about them. They're like chain smokers, alcoholics. They cheated on their wives. They just sound like terrible people. And then the third person is a vegetarian, gets up at 6 a.m. every day. And then you find out it's FDR, Winston Churchill, and the third guy is Adolf Hitler. I sort of did this with thing the other day. Like, it was the reverse. I was talking about genocidal maniacs, and you think you're reading about Hitler, and then at the end I'm like, oh no, it's John McCain. But you could do that with Osama bin Laden. I mean, like, you could describe him as a patriot freedom fighter, like he's a Minuteman from Boston in 1776 or whatever, and then at the end you reveal, oh no, this is Afghanistan and the invaders he's repelling are us, you know. Like, it's
right.
All perspective.
Well, I think that I would have been much more sympathetic to Osama bin Laden had he not had a civilian target. Like, all right, you know, Pentagon makes sense. Like, how about any other military base? But like, these two fucking towers in New York, man, they were just loaded with civilians. And I understand the objective. It was, you know, the financial center. I mean, but like, that's fucked up, man.
I want people to understand that I'm not excusing 9/11. Like, I don't think that no matter what someone does to you, murdering civilians is wrong. Like, I'm against dropping the atomic bombs in Japan. I'm against firebombing Tokyo. I'm against firebombing Dresden, regardless of how bad the Nazis and the Japanese Empire were. Like, I think killing civilians is always wrong. So it's not excusing it, but you can understand why it happened. You know, when especially
when an explanation is not an excuse, right?
Yeah, exactly. Especially when you are backed by the United States in the 80s and 90s. And then in the late 90s, they turn against you and then they start bombing your country. You're going to start hating them. I mean, because we were killing civilians in their countries, you know? I mean, so obviously hatred is going to be born out of that. And that's that Ron Paul moment with Rudy Giuliani talking about blowback and like, what the fuck did you think was going to happen? You know, of course this was going to happen. So.
Right.
Yeah.
So I totally agree with you.
The other thing I want to talk about is the weapons left behind, because I think the mistake here doesn't really rest with Biden. It rests with every president that was giving weapons to Afghanistan in the first place, because I was talking to Justin O'Donnell about this, and he was in Afghanistan for a little while. Leaving weapons behind is standard operating procedure because it's more expensive to bring them home than it is to leave them there. So you can blow them up, which is what they should have done. But the same people who are complaining that we left the weapons are also complaining that we didn't leave Afghanistan with a well-equipped army. So it's like, which you got to choose one or the other, you know what I mean? Like, you can't complain.
And that's one thing I noticed, like, seeing these dudes like chase that fucking, what was it, a C-17 or whatever that plane is. Seeing these dudes chase that plane to like try to catch a ride, and I'm like, man, these are like able-bodied grown men. A lot of them, you could tell they're single men because they don't have like families with them, or maybe they abandoned their families. I don't know. But it's like we won the Revolutionary War because we fought for our own country. And it's like, if we're going to leave all these weapons behind, couldn't we have just armed everyone? It's like, fine, the Taliban's going to be armed if we leave shit behind. But what if we just gave everyone an AK-47, right? And then like, maybe we could at least make it a fair fight. I don't know. And we have hundreds of thousands of Afghans like desperately trying to get out of the country. And it's like, that's a standing army right there. Like, the reason that Hitler lost the war against Russia was not only the fact that it was the winter that he invaded, or it became winter after he invaded, but it was because they didn't anticipate that women and children would be fighting too. And it's like, where are the women and children fighting for Afghanistan right now? And that's something that bothers me as well. And maybe they're just not armed, but if they're not armed, then like, how, like, whose fault is that? Because somehow we managed to arm the Taliban. How could we not arm Joe Schmo down the block, you know?
Yeah, I was listening to Scott Horton on Pete Quinones' show, and he was also on Reason. And he was saying that the Afghan army basically just immediately surrendered wherever the Taliban showed up. And they would shoot a couple commanders in the back of the head. But aside from that, they would just co-opt all the Afghan army. They'd just be like, hey, if you guys put down your weapons, we don't need to kill you. We'll just co-opt you. So like, a lot of these helicopters and airplanes, the Taliban doesn't know how to use those things, but instead, they just tell the Afghan Air Force, the Afghan Army, hey, if you guys don't fight us, you can just, you know, be in our army. And that's basically what happened. So pretty much everywhere, they just had to kill a couple generals and commanders, and then the entire army was just like, all right, fine. So that's how...
What happened with the president, too? He basically, like, got out of the country with a couple of trucks full of cash.
I actually don't know that story, so...
I'm pretty sure that I can't remember how many millions of dollars in cash that he had, but he basically resigned his position as president and was able to just leave with money.
Yeah, so, okay. I mean, that's...
I don't know who paid him. I don't know if it was the U.S. or if it was the Taliban, but that was basically the shtick. I think that the Taliban was just able to buy everybody off.
So, throughout all of this, and I'm going to assume that's true because I haven't heard anything about it, so I'm just going with that.
And I could be wrong, but that's the story I heard.
But if that's true, like the president that we leave in charge flees the country with millions of dollars, the army we leave in charge just immediately surrenders and gives all the weapons they have that we left them over to the Taliban. And all the able-bodied men seem to just be trying to escape who are scared of the Taliban. And we've been there 20 years. We've put over $2 trillion, thousands of American lives into that place. It's tragic seeing the human suffering, don't get me wrong. But at the same time, like, this is beautiful in a way of like exposing how dumb this whole idea of nation building is. Like, I mean, I hope that the lesson people learn from this is, wow, that was so fucking dumb. I mean, anyone who believed that we were going to make a difference in Afghanistan, that we could install some sort of democracy and change their way of life in a couple decades, like, I just hope everyone's seeing the absolute disaster that Afghanistan has turned into as we're pulling out is just like, wow, that was dumb. But instead, it seems like the visceral reaction of everyone is, oh, we need to go back, or we didn't do enough, or we should have just stayed like 5 more years or 10 more years or spent, you know, $500 million more dollars or whatever it is, while, you know, back home, we're still locked. They're starting to lock people down again. You know, we're still incarcerating millions of people. We're still $30 trillion in debt almost. It's like, guys, come on. Like, why? Think of like what a black hole Afghanistan was and how much shit we're in at home and how all those 20 years, all those trillions of dollars, you know, thousands of lives did absolutely nothing. Mm-hmm. Like, just, you know, take the right lesson from this. What do you think about that?
I agree. I think it seems to me that the only time that nation building has ever worked in this for our military is when we've been like rebuilding a nation that we've destroyed, or rebuilding a nation that somehow got ravaged that already existed prior. So like, if you look at like Germany, for example, after World War II, or Japan after World War II, we were fairly successfully able to like go in after we destroyed them and kind of help them like become a first world country again. South Korea is a pretty successful example of, you know, a nation that we helped. But these were like, you know, these were countries that had like a tremendous amount of cultural consensus already. And they just needed to be like, they needed to be repaired rather than like just totally rebuilt. It seems like they already sort of had like this infrastructure, this idea of what their society was like before. But when you go in and you just completely destroy something and then try to rebuild it as something completely different, which seems to be what we've been doing the last 50 years, it doesn't seem to ever work. And just to clarify, I looked up on Reuters. Reuters reported on the 16th from Moscow. Russia's embassy in Kabul said on Monday that Afghan President Ashraf Ghani had fled the country with four cars and a helicopter full of cash and had to leave some money behind as it would not all fit in the RIA news agency, or fit in the RIA news agency reported. So yeah, he just fucking got the fuck out with cash.
Nice.
Who knows whose cash it was? But
oh yeah, it was ours for sure.
Yeah. But yeah. I mean, why would you want to be a president of that shithole? Like when all this is going on, you know, you're just begging to be killed.
Yeah. Yeah, no, so, totally.
But I mean, agree with you that we should not be going over to these countries, fucking them up, and then just like believing somehow that in a short period of time, without a tremendous amount of resources, we can just rebuild them into a new country. It's just not going to happen.
The thing is, I mean, I always thought once we leave Afghanistan, the Taliban is going to take it over again. I didn't think it was going to be quite as fast as it happened, but I kind of always figured that. And I feel like people aren't being realistic with what it's going to look like when we pull out of any country, because they're pushing back so hard against, you know, how we've left Afghanistan. And I'm like, what do you think is going to happen when we leave Somalia completely, or when we leave Iraq completely, or when we leave Syria completely? Like, there's going to be chaos everywhere when we leave, because even though we're not making anything better, like there's some order when we're there, I guess, you know, like a little bit, but obviously whenever we leave, the people that we hate are going to take over again.
Yes. And, but can we do it without our guys getting trapped? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I think that I've said this many times, like, I think Biden's fuck up was breaking the deal with the Taliban and then believing that there was going to be some sort of army that was going to be able to defend Kabul. I mean, it was just a joke. Like, if you read the Afghanistan papers, they've been saying for years that this whole war was a complete joke. They were lying to the press, lying to the president.
Seems like the Taliban's more popular than ever too. Like, I was thinking for a while that they'd basically been eradicated and that it was just a few kind of cells, but it seems to me like membership is through the roof.
I think the average person in Afghanistan is much more sympathetic toward the Taliban than us. Like, those are the statistics I've heard. I don't know how they do polling in Afghanistan or whatever, but they are much more sympathetic to, as brutal as the Taliban is, to whatever governing system they have and, you know, what they're going to act like, than they are to us. So this idea that, you know, after we left, the government that we put in charge was going to last for years is just ridiculous. So I guess I just wasn't surprised. The only thing I've been surprised about is that Biden is actually stuck with leaving, because I thought like, oh fuck, he's going to go back in, you know, we're going to send, he's only sent evacuation troops back in. Like, he sent like 7,000 troops, but they're just into Kabul. They're just to, you know, get people out. They're not an invasion force. We're not fighting the Taliban. I just couldn't believe that he didn't cave to pressure, because so many people have been like, we need to go like bomb them. We need to.
Well, he did some drone strikes last night.
He did do drone strikes that were supposedly retaliation for the ISIS-K attack. The report I read from antiwar.com said they didn't kill any ISIS affiliates. They killed innocent
civilians. Some allies.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know they killed some allies. I retweeted a thread on that.
That is fucked up. Like, obviously, I'm not with Biden on that. Like, I think that's retarded.
It's just, like, dude, if you're going to fucking bomb, like, you know, hit the right target.
Yeah. But that's the thing about the drone war that no one gets. Like, I mean, they're like, oh, yeah, I'm against regime change, but I support drone bombing terrorists. It's like, what does that mean? Like, what if a terrorist is in a neighborhood and you're dropping a hellfire missile on his house and you're killing 40 other people at the same time? Like, that radicalizes that entire neighborhood. Even if you don't kill anyone else, even if you only kill the terrorists, but you drop a fucking bomb in their neighborhood and you ruin houses and you rattle them and you shake them, you know. Yeah. Obviously,
well, I mean, just imagine in the United States. Imagine in the United States if Osama bin Laden was hanging out in your hiding out in your neighborhood, and you had no fucking clue. And then one day, you know, you're bombed and your house is like knocked over. How do you feel about the U.S. government? It's like, great, they got Osama bin Laden, but why the fuck don't I have a house?
So like, imagine, you know, imagine the KKK kills some Russian dude, and so then Russia decides to carpet bomb Manhattan. In retaliation, like, how would we feel? Or even if they do a targeted drone strike somewhere in Houston and they end up killing like 60 innocent civilians along with the one guy who you know, who perpetrated the attack or whatever, like, we wouldn't just be like, oh yeah, well, you got your terrorist, okay, everything's falling. We would be like, fuck you, we're going to war, we're gonna, you know, over these 60.
Yeah,
I mean, look at how
I already feel like in that, and they've never even bombed me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm ready for secession, bro.
This American exceptionalism thing is real. Like, we really think like we're like a race above everyone else. Like, Americans are, you know, somehow superior to everyone else. Everyone else is collateral damage. If they kill one of us, we'll fucking blow up one of their cities. You know, there were people tweeting that for every American killed in Afghanistan, we should wipe a city off the map. It's just like, okay, so you're confused about why they would topple two towers in New York after we've been bombing them for decades. But then you think if they kill one of our guys, we should wipe a city off the map. Like, just think about that for a second.
I just don't even get at all why we give a fuck at all about the Middle East. Is it to protect the petrodollar? Is it so that we can keep resources from China? Like, why do we give a fuck about these shithole countries, to use Trump's term? I mean, like, Afghanistan, it's rich in natural resources, I get it, but it's a shithole. Iraq, a shithole. Iran, a shithole. They're all shithole countries. Even Israel, man, is, you know, like, I have friends that are Israelites. I have friends that live in Israel just through work and stuff. I like those people. They're smart, educated, kind people. But I don't give a fuck about, like, this feud between Palestine and Israel. Like, I don't understand. Why do we care so much? Because we don't give a fuck about any other nation's problems. We don't care about any of the countries in Africa who are, like, just as bad off, constantly having ground wars with fucking tribes left and right acquiring arms and fucking each other up. We don't have a problem with any of the terrible shit going on in South America with the cartel just like ravaging families, kidnapping. They even kidnap Americans. It happens all the time. We don't give a fuck, right? But for some reason, just because one dude's a radical Islamist in Afghanistan, or because there's like a rumor that there might be weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, that means that we're going to do a full-scale ground invasion. Like, what is going on that I'm missing? It just doesn't make any damn sense to me.
Yeah, so the radical Islamism is just a scapegoat. That's not why we're there. We don't give a fuck about that. They have, I mean, if we did, then we would be invading Saudi Arabia too. But there's two reasons, and it's Saudi Arabia and Israel. That's why we do what we do in the Middle East. And with Saudi Arabia, it does have to do with the petrodollar. That's part of it, because that, I just did an episode with Peter Schiff yesterday. We were talking about this, like, OPEC nations use the dollar.
We need the dollar used for oil trading, right?
Yeah, I mean, if we lose the world reserve currency, the dollar is going to plummet through the floor. So that's the number one reason we're so tight with Saudi Arabia. So Israel makes less sense because they don't do anything for us, really. I mean, there's some technological advances they can help us out with, but that's about it. Like,
they help us with intelligence in the Middle East.
Sure, but allegedly. It's questionable as to whether or not that actually is good information helping us.
Well, obviously it wasn't with the fucking evacuation.
Yeah, exactly.
So where were you on that one, Israel?
I mean, Israel, they have control over us. It's kind of disgusting, but I don't know how much you're familiar with, like, the Epstein case with blackmailing politicians through child rape rings. It's really disgusting.
Well, I'm familiar with Epstein doing that, but I don't know the connection to Israel.
Oh yeah, no, he has connections to Mossad, to Israeli intelligence. Ghislaine Maxwell's father was Israeli intelligence, and it also connects a lot to Saudi Arabia. There's a great, I think Eric Jackman's still watching, but there's a great video that Eric Jackman did on his channel where he just had Ryan on, and it's like an hour and a half long. They just go through the Epstein case and how the connections tie to Israel and Saudi Arabia. It's really disgusting. I would highly, I'll send it to you. You got to go watch it. But
dude, did you see that video, that alleged video that leaked like 4 years ago of John Podesta like abusing that child in the shower?
No.
Have you ever seen that? It's like this kid screaming and it sounds like exactly like Podesta's voice. And it was leaked. McAfee just leaked it again on his Kill Switch Telegram. It's the most disturbing shit I've ever seen or heard in my life. I had a hard time going to sleep.
Yeah,
I actually came across it on TikTok of all places. I think that I believe that there's some serious human trafficking going on at very high levels. I don't know how much of it is a conspiracy or if it is just to satiate the needs of sick people with a lot of money and power. But there's something really menacing going on. There's a lot of things, but this specifically is incredibly menacing going on, and it seems to be happening at high levels.
Yeah, I mean, it's really disgusting because I thought that was a vice for a very few people, but apparently that's a thing. Like, I mean, apparently once you're wealthy, that becomes a thing that people have a fetish for. It's really disturbing.
That doesn't make any fucking sense to me. But my wife and I had a daughter this year, and it's just like, you love, you don't get it until you have a kid, but you love that kid so much. And it's like the most irrational love ever because a kid is just a total pain in the ass. But yeah, you love that kid so much. It's like an evolutionary switch flips in your brain. And it just, whatever it takes just to imagine that anybody would have such callousness to harm a child in any way it's such a degree of evil that it's not seen in any movies. Like, you know, Lord of the Rings, you think of Sauron, he's like the ultimate evil. And it's like, mm-hmm. No, man, Sauron didn't do shit compared to these sickos. Like, these people are incredibly fucking evil. And I don't know what the solution is, but and I don't know how much of a conspiracy it is. I don't know if it's, you know, just basically a tool that the powers that be use to leverage and blackmail, you know, congressmen or whatever. I don't know to the extent that it's, like I said, a conspiracy, but this shit needs to end. I mean, frankly, it's a much bigger problem than any of these other problems that we claim to, you know, invade countries over. But yeah. I don't know. I don't want to go off on like a fucking tangent and make a distraction. But I do believe that there's some seriously fucked up shit going on, and that it's probably being used by the likes of Epstein and others to leverage our national policy to some degree.
Yeah, I mean, but those are the two parasites, you know, Israel and Saudi Arabia, mm-hmm. and our Middle Eastern policy is kind of dictated by them. And I mean, you look at how many politicians are bought out by AIPAC. And then how many vote for Saudi Arabian arms deals? You know, you'll have like four or five detractors on both sides of the aisle, and that's it. So they're just completely bought out. And the thing about Saudi Arabia is I don't think the average American really likes them. Like, if you ask that your average, you know, American citizen.
They throw gay people off buildings. Yeah, they throw gay people off buildings.
They're like, man, I don't like them. I mean, I guess they make our oil cheaper or something. But then if you ask about Israel, like especially in like the evangelical right-wing Christian sect, like you can't question support for Israel. If you do, then you're a heretic, you know, like God's going to turn his back on America or whatever. So like Israel is a lot more of a public relations campaign that has to be fought, whereas Saudi Arabia.
Well, and it's hard too, because like everybody knows that terrible shit happened to the Jews during the Holocaust.
Sure.
Yeah. So like, you know, like on a surface level, it's like, yeah, let's give the Jews their own country and then protect them. You know, mm-hmm. so this doesn't happen again. Like, that just makes sense rationally. And then from like an evangelical Christian standpoint, you're like, okay, God of Abraham, same dude, let's hook them up, they're God's people, whatever, from like a religious standpoint. But yeah, I mean, if you look into it, they're human beings just like everybody else, and if they're doing terrible corrupt shit, then, you know, we should not endorse that. And so I haven't done enough research to know, but it sounds like there's some pretty fucked up shit going on.
And then on top of this, you have like Raytheon, Halliburton, Northrop Grumman. They have endless contracts that, you know, keep enriching themselves through all these wars. So they don't want these wars to end. So then they also buy out politicians, you know, to continue these wars forever. Because if we're not at war, then Raytheon, Halliburton, all these weapons contractors, you know, they're going to lose a lot of money. So it really just comes down to power over politicians, that Saudi Arabia, Israel, AIPAC, weapons contractors, they just all have their hooks on Congress, and so they just keep getting them to vote for more war. You know, like they'll all talk big about you know, how the Republicans and Democrats are so different, but then when you look at when it comes to arms deals or military actions or funding for any sort of war, they almost all vote exactly the same. There's just a few detractors on each side.
Yeah. So what are we going to do about it?
Well, I still vote. I'm not sure it's worth it anymore. Like, I mean, it's getting exasperating. But what I try to do is I just try to, I believe in agorism, which is the idea of just like removing yourself from the system as much as you can. So talking to Peter Schiff yesterday, you know, the banking system is just completely built on debt. And so all these people who are in debt, they love these artificially low interest rates because they're able to stay afloat while they're, you know, tens of thousands of dollars in debt. They're able to take out loans on cars when they have no money. You know, it's like a dime down and you can buy a $60,000 car, $60 a month payment or whatever, like, which is.
Yeah, and the best thing you can do for your country is to get debt free.
Yes. So I've been debt free my whole life. I buy everything with cash. And, you know, it actually hurts me a little bit because I could profit off of how stupid everyone else is. But I just don't want to play into the banking system because I realize what it perpetuates around the world. And, you know, I think you can buy products that, you know, are not from Israel, like the, you know, the BDS thing. You can take part in that, which, I mean, there's not too many Israeli products here anyway, but you can be smart about where your dollars are going, you know, what you're spending money on, try to buy local. That's just the way that I've seen that you can make a difference at a local level, and then doing what we're doing, podcasting, talking about it, trying to make other people aware of what's going on. And then voting, I guess, still, like, why not? It doesn't take much effort, so might as well. I don't know if it does anything, but.
Do you think that the last election was legit? I go back and forth.
What do you mean by legit?
Do you think that there was enough voter fraud to sway the election in Biden's favor?
I don't. I think Biden won. I do think there was a lot of fraud. Most, like, on both sides, by the way. So the way this usually works is Democrats fake votes, like dead people and out of country people vote for Democrats, and then Republicans suppress votes. That's typically how it goes. So, for example, in Texas, in a blue district, they had like one ballot drop off location for 10,000 people or something, or sorry, for 100,000 people or something. And then in a red district with fewer people, they'd have 10 ballot drop off locations. So they make it a lot easier to vote. So you had tons of this stuff on both sides, like weird shit going on where they tried to kick the Libertarian Party off the ballot in a bunch of states. The Democrats did kick the Green Party off the ballot in several states. And then you saw what happened with Bernie Sanders during the primary, how they rigged that. So there was,
do you think he actually won the primary, or do you think that the DNC just supported Hillary illegally?
Oh, in 2016?
Yeah. Because that was the big one where they fucked up.
I don't know. Like, I really don't know about.
But they were doing like a lot of yay or nay votes, right? Where like the convent, like for the primary, where people would show up and they would like just shout who they supported, and then it would always go for Hillary, even though the shouts were definitely like ambiguous.
Yeah, and I honestly wasn't paying close attention in 2016 to the Democrat side. I was a Rand Paul guy, so I was never. But in 2020, I supported Tulsi Gabbard in the primary. Holy fuck, dude! The primary on the Democrat side was such a disaster, and I do think Joe Biden legitimately won it, but it was rigged. So you can still legitimately win a rigged election. Right. You know what I mean? Right. Like, the votes are all real, but the way the votes went to you is bullshit. So,
right. Well, these laws, Super these COVID laws and shit, were very bizarre.
Yeah, but right before Super Tuesday, a bunch of people, I'm forgetting who it is now, but Beto O'Rourke, I think Kamala Harris, a bunch of people dropped out, and then everybody lined up behind Biden because Bernie had been winning like every fucking primary, and they were like, okay, we can't have this. So I'm convinced that the DNC approached all those people and was like, look, if you get behind Biden right now, we'll pay you this seats. Or give you this position or whatever.
And they all really got cabinet seats except for Beto. But Beto, I think they're going to push for governor in Texas. They're going to push hard.
Yeah, you're going to vote for him, right? Or
fuck, dude. If I could, if I could legally and consensually smack anyone in the mouth,
it would be him.
Top of the list.
So what about him versus Ted
Cruz? Heck yeah, we're going to take your AR-15. Heck yeah.
I don't, man, I would shoot myself if I lived in Texas and it was a, well, I guess you guys did have this race. Didn't you have Beto O'Rourke against Ted Cruz in 2018?
Yeah, he ran for Senate and he lost, but it was close, too close for comfort, but he was just hyper-funded nationally.
Dude, I fucking hate both of those people so much, Ted Cruz and, oh man, like
I tell
those.
you what, I like Ted Cruz a lot more with the beard. When he didn't have the beard, I was like, pedophile, pedophile. And he grew the beard, I'm like, normal guy.
Pedophile with a beard, but dude, what's so weird? Like, remember in 2018 how AOC was at the border, like doing that photo op and crying about the kids in cages or whatever?
Yeah, wearing all white like she was Jesus Christ.
The beginning of this year, Ted Cruz was on the border, like videoing the
He actually went
overflow.
in though.
Yeah, but I
Yeah.
mean, it was just like a reversal of roles. It was so weird. Like AOC was ignoring what was going on in Washington, D.C., just like.
You know, I've never seen them photographed together. Maybe they're the same person. Have you ever seen them in the same room at the same
They both
time?
have Hispanic names, you know, so it's
Yeah,
perfect. I
it's
never
a
really
Mexican
thought about
conspiracy.
that before. We'll have to ask Ryan about that. I'll have to be like, hey, Ryan, we need you to look into something for us.
Yeah, very similar mannerisms.
Man.
Yeah, I don't know what to think about fucking Ted Cruz. I go back and forth. I mean, sometimes he says stuff I agree with, but ultimately what it comes down to is how do they vote? And like when I see these fucking $1.2 trillion stimulus packages pass, I'm just like they're just gonna sell bonds to fund it, and that's just gonna make the dollar worse. Like I know that they're just selling the poor out in order to, you know, have something to campaign on because on the surface it looks like a good move, but they don't give a fuck about the actual health of the country. And I said in a tweet a long time ago, I said, I'm not voting for any Republican that voted for any of these fucking stimulus packages.
That
They're
kind of
ruining
limits your
America.
options. Like
Yeah,
you got
I'm just.
Rand Paul and Thomas Massie, Mike Lee. That's probably about it. I think everyone else sold out at one point or another. Well,
Yep. I will vote for the primary candidate and I will write someone in before I fucking put my name down. No
yeah,
way. I
dude. I
probably vote
mean,
for, to be fair though, I probably will vote for Abbott over, Beto O'Rourke because I just fucking hate Beto O'Rourke so
yeah.
much.
I can't really blame you on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember, you know, they were trying to scare us about voting. They were trying to scare Georgians into voting Republicans, so we had gridlock, yeah, because they had that runaway election. And so then I think they voted again in January, but before the revote in January, this COVID stimulus bill went through Congress, and almost all the Republicans fucking voted for it, and it was $2.4 trillion. And most of it went overseas and to corporations and the military and shit. And I remember saying, like, what gridlock are you guys talking about? Like, why should we vote Republican? What the, I mean, I don't live in Georgia, but why should Georgians vote Republican? Like, what are they gonna say? What's gonna save them? Like, what are you guys proving that you hold the line with? Like, you don't hold the line with fucking anything. I mean, it's just
Yep,
insane.
it's time to secede. It's I'm like I wasn't this guy, but I am now, and I wish Texas would just become its own fucking country. I'm ready. And I've got a pre-existing condition. I got hemophilia. I'd probably bleed to death before the shit got figured out. Worth it. Just fucking secede, please. Give me something to bleed for.
Yeah,
At this point.
can you guys elect Ron Paul as your president? And I'll instantly move there.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. How's he doing, by the way? He's been retired for some time. Is he doing okay?
He had a stroke last year, but I think he's doing fine now. He just went to Young Americans for Liberty a few weeks ago, all the way in
Yeah.
Florida.
What
He
do you think about
drove.
the Texas Libertarian Party and their fucking tweets?
Oh, they're, I don't know. Oh, wait, no, he didn't drive there. He got a pri So Ron Paul won't wear a mask, and so they couldn't get him to go on a regular airline. So they got him a private jet to get him to Americans for Liberty. I think that's hilarious. But Texas LP, I don't know. Like, I feel like some people overreact sometimes, but they do have some cringe takes occasionally. It's like I
Yeah.
called them out. It was actually because Biden was talking about how, I mean, he made a great tweet about how, like, we can't have this war go into yet another presidency. And I forget what they said. They commented something about immigration on it. And I was just like, what are you doing? Like, why are you commenting on this tweet with
Right.
that comment? Like, do
Right.
it somewhere else.
Right.
And
Trump wasn't always wrong, neither is Biden. Like you can't
yeah, like,
overcorrect. Yeah.
dude, and that's what I hate. Like, people don't know how to figure me out, but I'm very easy to figure out. Like, if you just look at what I believe, like, I'm against war, that'll make it easy for you, you know. And everyone's like, oh, you like Biden this day, you hate him the next day. And they were the same with Trump. Like, you like it. And it's like, I'm not the one who's inconsistent here. Like, I don't stand by a person. I stand by my philosophy.
Right.
If that person occasionally follows my philosophy, then I'm gonna, you know, give him a pat on the back. But
Right.
yeah, because I remember the last time I really cheered Trump on was when it looked like he was gonna veto that bill that I was just talking about, the one right before Christmas, the COVID relief bill. Like, he said, this is full of pork. This is a disgrace to the American people. I'm going to veto this. And I almost bought a Trump hat. I was like, fuck yeah. And I made a couple of videos about it, like, let's go. And a lot of the more left-leaning libertarians that follow me were getting angry because they're like, how could you like Trump? And it's like, I don't like Trump. I just agree with what he's saying right now. And then the last couple of weeks has been
See,
the
I'm
same.
the opposite. Like, I love Trump, and I disagree with almost everything he says.
Yeah. Well, I do too. I mean, I disagree with almost everything he says, but when he's right, I'll scream, you know.
Like him even when he's wrong. When he's like, "Fuck you, I'm dropping the mother of all bombs," I'm like, "All right, man, you do you." Fuck yeah, that bomb was big.
Isn't Biden approaching entertainment levels that Trump had though? Like, I mean, when he's falling asleep during a press conference and like he just forgets what he's saying. I mean, it's sort of like more of a horrifying comedy. It's just like, whoa, like scary, but it is entertaining though. Like, I can't say he's not entertaining at this point. I
Yeah,
do call
he's like
that.
he's entertaining in the same way that Driving Miss Daisy is entertaining with Morgan Freeman. You know, Trump was like entertaining like The Apprentice was entertaining, but Biden is like Driving Miss Daisy entertaining.
Yeah, Trump was terrifying a couple times, but for the most part, it was just like bombastic ridiculousness
I
where.
tell you what, if COVID wouldn't have happened, man, things would be hot. Things would be popping right now in this country. Business would be good. If what he just fucked up the way he handled COVID so badly.
See, I disagree. I
You
think
do?
we were headed for a reset either way, and COVID was just the excuse they used. Like,
Could have been.
because I think we were due for bailouts. We were due for a recession either way. Like, we were living in such a bubble, there was no way it
We're
could get
definitely due for a recession.
and
But they can kick the can, man. They know how to kick the can.
well, they did sort of. Like, I mean, it would have been way. So here's the thing, like, this is actually kind of relatable to Afghanistan. Like, pulling out of Afghanistan is going to hurt no matter when we do it. Like, it's going to suck. Same with recessions, like, they're going to hurt. But when we kick the can down the road, we do all this quantitative easing, we drop interest rates through the floor to try to patch it up to just get it through to the next cycle. We're just like making the inevitable coming crisis even worse. You know, like, I mean, we really need to let businesses fail, let banks fail, and let the economy restructure in a healthy way. Because we didn't do that in 2008. We bailed out all the banks, we bailed out businesses. And they didn't change any of their disastrous ways because there's no recourse for being irresponsible. So the same thing but worse happened this last year. Like, I mean, a ton of businesses that should have gone under didn't. And they're just doing fine because they just got paid on the government dole. And so the next time this happens, like, I mean, it's still happening. Like, I don't think we really pushed it off. Like, we're still going through it. I don't even know if we can push it to the next crisis. It feels like this crisis is so big and we're just so buried in debt and we're just so far behind that this will be the one that finally makes us go belly up and we're not going to be able to recover from it. That's kind of what I think.
I think that we should be buying real estate in Kabul. I mean, you're never going to get a better. I'm looking at listings right now, luxury apartments in Kabul. You get a hell of a deal.
400 bucks. Actually, well, so
Financing available.
are you getting the hurricane around where you are, or is it not coming that
No,
far?
I know. I haven't seen anything. That's not even raining, dude. But I have one of those beautiful Texas sunsets right now I'm looking at.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. You should come to Austin and go shooting with us, man. I'll take you to the range.
Love to. Austin's the
See if you
only
like it.
city in Texas I haven't been to, and I've heard it's the
Yeah.
best.
Well, it's fun, but it's super left. But again, I always say this, it's better to live in a blue city in a red state than a red city in a blue state.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I've been to San Antonio, Houston, Lubbock, Abilene, Dallas,
Dallas,
Fort Worth. I've been like everywhere except Austin, pretty much. But
Austin's fun. You come here, I'll show you a good time. I went and saw Joe Rogan live last week. That was a blast.
Oh, there you go.
It's like $125. He was like 10 yards from me, dude. It was awesome.
Sweet. Well, hey, man, let's do plugs. Thanks for coming on. I appreciate you coming on and talking about this. A lot of people would
Thank
just
you.
Be scared to talk about something they disagree on, but I thought it went well.
I'll always talk to you, Reed. Ride or die.
Absolutely. But, yeah, I got your YouTube channel and your Twitter page linked in the description. Where else can people follow you, keep up with you?
Yeah, Twitter and YouTube are the best. I'm trying to push the YouTube subscriptions because I don't want to be so reliant on my Twitter feed because I don't know how much longer I'm going to be on Twitter. So it's One American Podcast, or you can just search my name, Chase Geiser, Geiser, and I should pop up on YouTube. But if you want to follow me on Twitter, it's @RealChaseGeiser, and I'm there, and there's a link to the podcast right in the bio.
So are you leaving Twitter, or do you think you're just going to get removed?
Removed. I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon, but I'm just trying to think in, like, you know, 24, 36, 48 months down the road. It's probably not going to be a very good long-term strategy for me because I don't see the censorship getting any easier.
Yeah, you've probably noticed, but I've adopted the philosophy of this might be my last day every single day. So I know go for it. But yeah, guys, he's had a lot of like crazy guests on lately. I don't know how he gets them. He has the Midas touch or something. He just goes for it and they say yes.
I got Nor bin Laden coming on next month, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
So that should be interesting. We'll hear what she has to say. I'll try to bring you on for that one, Reed.
Okay. All right, guys. Well, thank you for watching. I will be streaming on, Tuesday with Jacob Winograd. He's got the Biblical Anarchy show. I went on his show about a month ago. And then I think Dak Rouleau will be on Wednesday. And then I'm going on vacation for a few days. The following week, we'll have Dave Smith, Drew Hancock, and Pete Quinones coming on. So stay tuned for those.